Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Today I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. It's a little bit out of my element, but I really felt led of the Lord to talk about some things we need to become disciples of God, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes you can't find those passages that just talk about everything that you'd like to talk about discipleship in one passage. So today, instead of me just taking one passage of Scripture and talking about just that one passage like I normally do, we're going to be going through several passages of Scripture today. And I just want us to focus on the true marks of a disciple, or the marks of a true disciple. So we're going to start today by reading John chapter 10 in verse 14. It says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even as so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." Now look down at verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now Jesus is describing this relationship between him and those who follow him, his disciples, those who are believing in him, those who are trusting in him as their Savior. He's describing this relationship, this bond that is between them and him. There is an unmistakable bond between a true disciple and Jesus. I want you to understand that. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, there is a bond between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. This bond involves communication. Notice it says, "They hear my voice." They hear my voice. You may not hear it audibly like you're listening to me today, but there is that still small voice that speaks to your heart that you know is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. This bond also involves a close interaction with Jesus. It says, "And I know them." So there's this close interaction with Jesus, this personal close interaction with the Lord Jesus. This bond also involves a willingness to obey Jesus, to follow him. It says, "And they follow me," right? So there's three things that I see here that we see in this bond that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. This communication where we hear his voice, this interaction with him where we get to know him and he gets to know us. And this bond also involves a willingness to obey Jesus, where we will be willing to follow him wherever he goes. Now, please understand something. This kind of bond between you and Jesus cannot simply happen because you want it to. It cannot happen because you want it to. You can't hear the voice of Jesus unless you are given spiritual ears to hear. You cannot interact closely with Jesus unless he manifests his presence to you. And you cannot follow him unless he guides and motivates you. No one can do those things except God works in you and through you. So God has to be the one who orchestrates this dynamic relationship between you and himself. So how does he do that? How does God come down and speak to you and me and everyone else? How does God form a relationship where you communicate with him, where he gets to know you, and where you know how to follow him? How does he do that? Well, let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Starting in verse 15. This passage, I believe, is in the middle of your bulletin. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be beloved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Now, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture where Jesus is trying to encourage his disciples. Jesus knows that he's about to go to the cross and sacrifice his life so that we all may have our sins forgiven and have eternal life in heaven. He is concerned about his disciples and the task that they have before him. He understands that they cannot do it on their own. He understands that if he leaves them, they may crumble under the pressure of doing what God has for them to do. So he says to them, "I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you someone. He is the Holy Spirit, and he is going to help you, and he is going to give you the motivation and the guidance that you need, and his presence will be just what you need to help you do the will of the Father." Now, the reason we can have a close relationship with the Lord, the reason we can hear his voice, the reason we can get to know him and he can help us follow him, is because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, his Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. You know, I really wouldn't want to have to go through this life without the Lord living inside of me. You know what? No one in this room has to go on in life without the Lord living inside you. You don't have to go on in this world with all its hardships, with all its difficulties, with all of its pain and sorrow alone. You don't. God wants you to know he wants to be with you. Jesus, the one who died on the cross for your sins, wants to live inside of you and help you every step of the way in your life. He doesn't want you to go through this life alone. He doesn't want you to go through this life with no hope. He doesn't want you to go through this life with despair. He has sent someone to help you. And maybe even today, right now, He is talking to you and convincing you of the truth of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to understand something. When God is talking to you, when He calls you, you need to listen. You need to listen. Allow Him to work in your life. Open up to Him and say, Lord, I'll accept You as my Savior. I want You in my life. Because there's some things in life you just don't want to go through alone. There's some things in life you just don't want to go through alone. And God never intended for you to go through those things alone. He wants to have this close relationship with you, where He is with you, right beside you, every step of the way in your life, guiding you, encouraging you, instructing you. He wants to do that. You know, Christy and I, there's some things that she wants me to do with her, and I want to do together as we, you know, like write emails and stuff like that. When we do correspondence with other people that want to know about our ministry, like this week we had a pastor call and ask us to write a few paragraphs about our ministry so they could put our picture up on the wall like we do over here and tell people about our ministry so they would pray for us. And so I forwarded it to Christy because I want her to be a part of that because she knows grammar better than I do, okay? So she wants me to be a part of it, though, because she doesn't want me to do it. She doesn't want to do it by herself because she gets wordy. You know, she'll write three paragraphs, and I can narrow it down to three sentences. So these things that we don't want to do alone, we want to do together, are things that, hey, I'm glad that she's with me to help me through those things and to do those things. Well, there's some things in life that I don't want to do without God. I don't want to have to face sin without God. I don't. I did that before I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I faced sin, and guess what? Sin got the best of me. I faced sin, and sin got the best of me. It beat me down. As hard as I tried to beat up sin and get away from sin and overcome sin, it seemed to always get the best of me. But then the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of me. And you know what? That all changed. I was able to get victory over sins that I never imagined that I could get victory over. My friends and loved ones were thinking, wow, what happened to you? And they were amazed that God had given me the victory that He did. How I was able to avoid sin and able to overcome sin in my life. Well, I want you to know something. The same God who did it for me can do it for you. The same God who did it for me can do it for you. Because His Holy Spirit is powerful and awesome and thoroughly consistent in every single one of our lives. He can do that for you. He can give you victory in your life over your sins. He can help you through the most harsh problems life can throw at you. Some of you have lost loved ones that are dear to you. I wouldn't want to go through that without the Lord. I really wouldn't. You know, Christy recently got literally deathly ill, where she could have passed away. I would not have wanted to go through that without the Lord. Without knowing that no matter what happened, God was going to help me. God was going to get me through it. God was going to get my children through it. I would not have wanted to go through that without the Lord. There's just some things that I would hate to go through without the Lord. And He never intended for any of you to go through anything without Him. That's why He sent His Holy Spirit. That we need to understand that. We need to see that Jesus knew that if you were going to love Him and keep His commandments, you couldn't do it alone. That is why He sent His Holy Spirit after His ascension into heaven. Now, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, after He went up into heaven, after He ascended up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and a crowd gathered to see what was going on. Now, Peter preached a gospel message to this big crowd and told everyone that they could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 in verse 38 it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" What an awesome message to preach to people who need hope. What an awesome message to preach to people who need hope. That if they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His crucifixion and burial and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, that they would receive the Holy Spirit. That they would receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit would be given to all who would trust in Him. Jesus said in John 3:5, that we must be born of the Spirit. You know, we're all born of the flesh. We're born of the flesh. We have flesh and blood. But Jesus said we must be born of the Spirit as well in order to enter the kingdom of God. This is what He was talking about. He was talking about us being born in the Holy Spirit. So the mark of a true disciple is someone who has received the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, how are we born in the Spirit? How are we born in the Spirit? Turn back to, at John chapter 3. John chapter 3 in verses 14 through 18. John chapter 3, 14 through 18. Most of us are familiar with this verse, these verses. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So here it is very plainly put to us that we must trust in Jesus as our Savior in order to be born of the Spirit. We must trust in Him and His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins in order to be born of the Spirit. Now, it is the working of the Holy Spirit in us that confirms we have trusted Him as Savior. You know, you may say to yourself, well, how do I know I've trusted in the Lord as my Savior? How do I know that I've trusted Him? Well, that's what I'd like us to talk about today a little bit more. My goal in this discipleship study is twofold. To make sure we all have a genuine relationship with Jesus, and to make sure we all have an understanding of what God wants to do as He works in our lives. You know, Romans chapter 8 in verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." So it's important that we know that we have the Spirit of God living in us, to know that we have a genuine relationship with Him, that we have this saving relationship where we aren't condemned by God. And so how do we make sure that we have an understanding of that? And look at John 14 again in verse 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you." So we want to have an understanding through the Holy Spirit, through a study with how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We want to gain an understanding of all that He wants to do in our lives and all that He wants us to do in our lives. So, here's what I'd like to propose to you. The Holy Spirit will create desires for fulfilling the plan of God. One of the ways you can know that you are truly born of the Spirit is that God's going to create certain desires in your life that will fulfill His plan. That will fulfill His plan. Zechariah 4:6 makes it clear that He wants to use His Spirit to accomplish His plan in your lives. He said, "Not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit." That's how God wants to accomplish His will in your life. So what is God's plan for you? Well, first of all, He wants it so that you will communicate the gospel to the world. He is going to give you a desire to communicate the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. He's going to give you a desire to communicate that to others. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, Jesus is talking to His disciples once again, and He says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So we see that one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to compel us to do and give us a desire to do is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, how does that apply to our lives? Well, there should be a desire in your heart to see others come to know the Savior that you know. And that desire should come out in your life. This morning I asked the teens about praying that the Lord would give them opportunity to witness to others this week. And I think that's something that we need to be doing. If we truly desire, if we truly have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, then there should be some desire to see others come to know Jesus as their Savior. Now that may involve you inviting someone to church. You know that they're going to hear the gospel when they come to church, so you invite them. That may be giving your personal testimony, saying, "You know, let me tell you what the Lord did for me when I accepted Him as my Savior." Those kind of things, that motivation that comes from the Lord that guides you to tell someone about the Lord, tell someone to ask someone to come to church, those things are confirmations that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that He knows you and you know Him. Okay? So, this is important, because if that's completely absent in your life, If you never think about, you know, your neighbor or your loved ones or your coworkers in a way that says, you know, I'd like to see them come to know my Lord, then you may want to reevaluate where you stand with the Lord. Now, not only that, the Holy Spirit works in you that you would communicate with Him in prayer. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 26 and 27, it says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Aren't you glad for that? For we do not know that we would what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, the Holy Spirit actually helps us pray. He actually helps us pray. You know, God's made promises to us in His Word. Like, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, how come I know that if I ask for a Mercedes this week, I know I'm not going to get it? How come I know that? Is it because God's breaking His Word? No. It's because I know in my spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me and saying, Bill, don't even ask. You're not getting it. Amen? I understand that. Okay? I understand that. The Lord does that for us. He helps us pray. He helps us to know what to pray. Sometimes He just helps us when we don't know what we need to say. When we're so grieved in our heart, we just don't know what to say. But He makes intercession for us. He's communicating with us. He's even helping us communicate with Him. That's how you get to know God. That's how you get to know God. Do you have a relationship with God where you're motivated to talk to Him? Where you're motivated to talk to Him? Where you know you're not talking to Him just to throw words in the air, but you know that He hears you. You know that He hears you. That's the mark of a true disciple. Someone that really can communicate with God in prayer and knows that he's being helped by the Holy Spirit in prayer. Then that he would communicate with you in the Word. John 14:26 again, remember it says, so that he would call to remembrance, the Holy Spirit is going to call to remembrance all the things that Jesus has said. All the things that Jesus has told us. He's going to call those things to remembrance. He's going to help us as we read the Word of God to ingrain those things in our heart. And when we need them most, He'll call them to remembrance. Aren't you always amazed by that? I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at memorizing Scripture. I'm not. I've tried many times, and I don't know a whole lot of verses by memory. I'm just being honest. But I am amazed at how when I face a situation in my life, God brings verses to my memory. He brings verses to my memory that apply to exactly what I am going through. Now, it's not because I memorized them. I've read them. I've studied them. But you know as well as I do, I don't remember what I ate for breakfast most of the time. So, how does that happen? It happens because there's someone with a lot of power living inside of me. It happens because I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and when I need His Word, He calls it to my remembrance. That is an awesome, awesome privilege that we have from God. That's what He wants to give to you. He wants to impart wisdom to you in every situation that you face. Have you become dumbfounded with your situation? Have you just become so overwhelmed with what you're going through, you just don't have any clue how you're going to get through it? I want you to know something. God wants to help you get through it. He has provided a plan that will help you, and a person, His name is the Holy Spirit, to indwell you and guide you in every circumstance you face in life. So, we need to understand that. And finally, that He would communicate His love and good works to the brethren. That we would communicate His love and good works to the brethren. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, these verses make it clear that God works in our hearts and His Spirit works in our lives so that we can show His love and His good works to others, to other believers. In 1 John chapter 3, it talks about how we should love one another. How we should love one another. And it talks about how we display that love to others. Now, I want you to turn to that passage, and then we'll be done. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. This is a perfect way to end, I think, a message on the Holy Spirit and what He does for us. It says in verse 24, after He tells us how to love others, it says, now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit of whom He has given us. Now, it's very clear. We obey God because He lives in us. We fulfill His plan for our lives because He motivates us. We get to know Him and He gets us through things because He guides us. He directs us. He doesn't abandon us. There is a strong bond between you and Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And it's that bond that produces the urge to communicate the gospel to the world, to communicate with Him, to hear from Him, and to communicate His love to other believers. So, let me ask you, do you feel that urge in your own life? Do you hear a voice from God that says, you need to tell that person about Jesus Christ? You need to tell that person that you love them? That brother in Jesus Christ is hurting. Why don't you give him a word of encouragement from me? Do you hear that? Are you urged in your heart to pray? To ask the Lord for His guidance and His care? If that is not present in your life, I urge you to consider your situation and really nail down whether you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if these urgings, if these desires are not present in your life, that's a clear indication that you don't have a right relationship with Him. I urge you, by His prodding your heart right now, to accept Him into your life. To accept His forgiveness for your sins. So that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is what He wants for you. He doesn't want you to go through this life on your own. He wants to go through it with you. So, do you feel the bond with Jesus through His Spirit? Is He urging you to communicate the gospel to the world, to communicate with Him, to hear from Him, and to communicate His love to other believers? I hope so. Maybe you know you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you just haven't been motivated like you ought to in these areas. But He's prodding you right now. That's a good sign. Why don't you ask the Lord to help you with His plan for your life?